This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show. Hooligans won it all. Boy, that was an interesting game last night. Detroit ends up beating Baltimore 38-30. Fun game. Derrick Henry having some fumble issues. He's fumbled in three games so far, and two of them ultimately you could argue cost Baltimore the game. Again, a lot of things can happen, but. Baltimore's down by four, get the ball back, have a chance to go down and potentially get the go-ahead score, and Henry fumbles the ball. So, Michael, let's do this. We're going to get to the whole show headlines here. We get to doing a new thing, headlines every day, things that happen that we catch, whether it's a comment or a game or whatever, but we've got the whole show headlines. And number one for me is just watching Jared Goff. Now, I don't think anybody's saying Jared Goff is the best quarterback in the NFL, but I think he's moved up a tier. And so when I look at that, I look over at Bo Nix and I say, Bo Nix is inches away from being great. Now, that inch can seem like a mile. There was a play for Detroit at the two-minute mark. It's fourth and two on Detroit's 49. And they're up. They have a chance to put this game away. They could punt it away. They could try to run the ball and grind it out. They've been running the ball extremely well and see if they can get the first. Instead, get a little play action, and Jared Goff finds St. Brown for a 20-yard gain on first down, or to get a first down. And it was a beautiful throw, a beautiful catch right on target, and that's the play. That's the play that ends games. That's what you have to do if you want to be a great team in this league. If you want to put good teams away, which is who the Broncos have faced in the first 2 weeks of the season, you have a chance to leave no doubt. Yeah, you can punt the ball away and hope your defense comes up with a key stop against the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment in Lamar Jackson. We had a weird game. I'll give you that. Instead, Dan Campbell, aggressive, puts the ball in his quarterback's hands and gives him a chance to ice the game. And Jared Goff makes the throw. And I'm watching that, and that's exactly what we're missing right now with Bo Nix. Do I think he can get there? I don't know. I mean, I think Bo is fine right now. Is fine going to win a Super Bowl? Could, if your defense is elite. And I don't think we're saying today that this Broncos defense is elite. They're good. Right now, I feel like, and I said this yesterday, I know I sound like a broken record, but the Broncos are a good team that's bad at winning. And Detroit last night, if they wouldn't have picked up that first down, Baltimore gets the ball back, maybe they go tie the game and we go to overtime. And they lose. I would say the same thing. Detroit's a good team. Can't seem to figure out how to win some of these games. But they're 2-1. And the Ravens are now 1-2. The Chiefs are 1-2. And the Broncos are 1-2. So that's what, like, Baltimore was a favorite. Chiefs were one of the favorites. And they're both 1-2 to start the season. So that's where you kind of take the, all right, it's not the end of the world. And it really isn't. Nobody should be out on Bo Nix. Nobody should be out on Sean Payton. There's things that are frustrating. I think Sean has called some decent games, but the lack of a commitment to the run, the aggressive call and the field goal block against the Colts. That's an issue. So we're going to get to that a little bit later on. More on Bo Nix. Michael Malone speaks for the first time in a while, specifically about his time in Denver. And I want to get to that. I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, we'll play... We'll play it right now, and then for a new audience in the 12, 1 o'clock hour, we'll maybe run it back. But here's what Michael Malone had to say about whether or not he would want to become an NBA head coach again. Here's Michael Malone.
All right, Mike, you have a chance here to become a big star in TV. Would that be okay for you, or are you thinking at some point you'd like to get back into coaching?
In my heart, Frank, I'm a coach. I'm the son of a coach. It's definitely something I'd love to get back in. I still have a bad taste in my mouth with how things ended in Denver, and I'd love to go out on my own terms. With that being said, what I've learned over my many years in this league is how important it is to go to work every day with people you care about, you trust, you respect, and that are all pulling in the same direction. So when I have a chance to go back into the NBA, I just want to make sure I'm working with a group of people that are like-minded and share a common vision and are willing to do whatever it takes to make that vision become a reality. And if that situation pops up, I would love to get back on that sideline. I'm a competitor. I'm a teacher, and I am a coach first and foremost. TV star second.
I listen to Michael Malone, and I can't help it. I miss the dude. I like the guy. I was a big Michael Malone fan, and I think I'm still going to kind of root for him. I don't know, but I didn't love what he had to say. I want to make sure I'm working with a group of people that are like-minded, share a common vision, and are willing to do whatever it takes to make that vision become a reality. Now, the problem is... we all know how it went in Denver. Calvin Booth had a vision. Michael Malone had a vision. Those visions did not seem to line up with one another. Was it Malone? I mean, it seemed from the things that we heard surrounding this that it was toxic on both sides. And if it was just Calvin Booth, then I think Calvin Booth would have been the one to go. Now, that's not an isolated incident. He also was booted out of Sacramento after a season and maybe 20 games. Now, I used to defend that and say they fired him because they were 12-14 or something like that. And Boogie Cousins was his star at the time, had mono, and he was out for a significant amount of time. So I used to think Michael Malone got a bad he had a bad situation there. And Sacramento wanted something else. But then you dig further after the Nuggets situation, and you did hear rumblings and reports that Michael Malone was kind of difficult to work with. So what do you believe? I don't know. I just thought it was interesting, and we'll get to some of that a little bit later on. I mean, to fire a guy with four games remaining... when you have the playoffs right around the corner and you have a generational talent in Nikola Jokic was a huge risk. And I think it was a risk that paid off. They won a playoff series and they went 7 against the eventual NBA champions. Do they get that far if Malone stays on? Do they make that decision if Nikola Jokic isn't cool with it? And I'm not saying, I've said this a bazillion times, I'm not saying Joker came in hammering the table with his fist saying, we got to make a change. He's not the right leader. My guess is that it was, this is what we're thinking. How do you feel? And if Joker really thought Michael Malone was the guy, he would have fought for him. Not blaming him, not putting the firing on him at all. But this is the NBA. NBA superstars are like quarterbacks. They get treated with the utmost respect and things are ran by them. And so in this situation, I just can't help but think Malone's talking about people pulling in the same direction. Well, yeah, but were you forcing people to go in your direction? Is that what you're saying? Is I don't want people going in the same direction. I want people going in my direction at my next job. And he's been fired twice now as a head coach. He's had two head coaching jobs.
Joker seems like the type of guy who doesn't like drama.
Right.
So I bet immediately when he was told, he was probably like, thumbs up.
Yeah, because there was probably a toxic situation going on, and it wasn't just Calvin Booth. There's one man there around every day, and that's Michael Malone. They're not around Calvin Booth every day. So for the Nuggets to make that decision at that time to fire both Malone and Calvin Booth tells you that it wasn't just Calvin Booth. It was Michael Malone as well. Booth would, I mean, again, you heard things that maybe Jalen Pickett was put on blast in practice at times. Embarrassed almost. The fact that Malone had a love affair with Russell Westbrook and would play him through thick and thin. Kind of reminds me of how George Karl used to treat Andre Miller. So I hear, I want to go back in the NBA. I want to make sure I'm working with a group that are like-minded, share a common vision, and are pulling in the same direction. I hear I want someone like-minded like me. You have the same vision as me, and you are going in the same direction as me. I don't want
or
any
maybe
contesting.
Who's weak-willed and will allow me to beat them up emotionally and won't stand up for themselves.
I'm the coach, and I go to the GM, and I say, don't draft that guy. Well, why do you have a GM? Because clearly Calvin Booth was drafting guys that Michael Malone had no interest in playing. Guys like Julian Strother. And I don't know if he's going to work out. Guys like Jalen Pickett. And then going with veteran-type dudes. We all know Michael Malone has had a hard time in the past playing young players. He usually does that out of necessity. So I don't want this to turn into like, Malone sucked. It was awful. Because he was the head coach that brought you an NBA championship. But I do think that in my heart of hearts, Michael, I don't even know what that means, that Malone grew too dependent on his superstar in Nikola Jokic. That's why when he went on the bench, this was a completely different team. You went from one of the best teams in the league to when Joker was on the bench to one of the worst teams in the league. A little bit of that is coaching. Because you can't tell me that the NBA existed well before Nikola Jokic. The Nuggets have been to the playoffs well before Nikola Jokic. And yet, when he went on to the bench, it was one of the worst teams in the NBA. This is not a playoff team without Joker. This is not a play-in team without Joker. This is a lottery team. And I mean that. This is a bad team without Nikola Jokic. And that's just the way it is. They have some good players.
I think the firing of both is a good idea. I mean, you can have a bad coach. You can have a bad GM.
You can have a good coach that becomes a bad coach too, right?
Yeah. But this is supposed to be a partnership. Yeah, one has more power than the other, ultimately, but it should be a partnership. It should be the GM going, I'm thinking about this guy. What do you think?
Do you ever see the movie Moneyball? Do you ever see that movie with Brad Pitt, who played Billy Bean?
I've seen it a couple times. It's really good.
It's a great movie. But there is a part of me, who's the manager at the time for the A's? I can't think of the actor who played him either. But it was a great movie, and I get everything that Billy Bean was trying to do, and Art Howe, that was Philip Seymour Hoffman. And there was a scene there where Billy Bean, Brad Pitt, comes to Art and says, hey, you need to play this player, this player, and this player. And Art says, dude, you're playing your analytics game, you're doing all that stuff, the lineup card is mine. Well, you can't play him then because I just traded him. It's a fun, romantic, baseball is romantic. It's a powerful thing. But that's not great. Like, that's toxic. If it actually went down that way, I can't imagine many managers wanting to play for Billy Bean. And I don't believe it went down that way. I think it was obviously Hollywooded up and all that stuff. But
they say that like 25% of the based on a real story is real and 75 is fake.
Right. In that moment, which you're rooting for Brad Pitt, you're like, oh, he's trying to change baseball and Art's just being this old school baseball guy. So they make Art look bad, but he was right. The lineup card is mine. You pay me to do the lineup card. So in Malone and Calvin Booth's situation, both can be true. Like, Calvin Booth drafts the players. You would hope that you text Malone and say, hey, can you use this guy? I don't think that was happening toward the end. Then it became I'm almost going to not play that guy just out of spite. I'm not going to play these younger dudes that you think are going to be really good players?
If you're not going to play them, they better suck. But the whole point of having these players is because they're supposed to be good. They're supposed to help your team. If you're not playing them, that's either a condemnation of the guy who's drafting them or the players themselves just aren't – they have some promise, but for some reason they just don't develop right.
Well, like Dario Saric, that was a – some people were kind of excited to see what he was all about, and then it didn't work. He was better – he was a better player than what was showcased in Denver. Is that Malone's fault? Listen, I've stood pretty clear on this one. I believe it was 50-50 without getting any real inside scoop. But you do ultimately want what's happening right now with Sean and George Payton. My guess is George Payton doesn't draft a guy unless Sean is they're lockstep with each other. And that's a hard thing to do, but they are lockstep with each other. So they're talking about guys. Hey, here's kind of my board. I've been looking at these dudes. And then Sean Payton, here's my board. I'm looking at these dudes. Okay, man, George, I don't know. I don't see how so-and-so is going to work at all. Really? Okay, you don't feel that good about this guy? Okay, we'll take him off the board there. That's probably how it's going because it seems like those two are working well together. I don't know if Michael Malone was involved in the draft process. I'm not sure. Or this free agency signing. Clearly, he liked the Russell Westbrook idea, but guess who also liked the Russell Westbrook idea? The Joker. So when that guy likes the idea, it tends to go well. So all I'm saying is Joker is not a dramatic guy. You're right. He's anti-drama, I would assume.
He just seems like a really laid-back guy. I want to play my basketball and then go home.
But if he thought Michael Malone was not part of the toxicity that was growing, then don't you think he would have still stood up and said, you know, Josh, I get it with Calvin Booth, but we love Mike. I mean, we got his back. This would be a bad move. And I think Josh would say, okay, we'll let it go through the season. And then if we don't do anything, we gotta make a change there. I don't think there was a fight. Now, maybe I'm giving Joker too much credit in a weird way. On that side, he could have very well said, I don't care. Like, he could really feel that way. Like, I can disassociate with all of that stuff. I don't care. If you think that's the best move, great. I'm still making my monies, and I'm still playing basketball. So I've still got a great life.
And I'm buying another horse.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. He said, Chris says, I look at NBA teams, lots of egos. Good luck finding one where everyone will get on your bus. Yeah, I just think that Malone's trying to make it seem like it was not his doing at all, but I certainly feel like it was partially him.
If you have a big enough ego, it's never your doing.
And I do think that he did take a couple of shots when he's throwing out the Thunder fan base is the best fan base in the NBA, he may not be wrong, but they also don't have anything to do in Oklahoma. There's nothing else to do in June. No, you're not doing anything. So they go to Oklahoma City Thunder games. They show out. They wear the T-shirts. They do it all. But I had a hard time with that comment. The other headline is CSU makes a quarterback change. Is the change enough to save Jay Norvell? Jackson Brousseau will get the start. We'll talk to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com about getting to know Jackson a little bit. I stand by. If the Broncos announce today that they're going to go with Jarrett Stidham instead of Bo Nix, it's not a good thing to do that. Now look at the Colts. Anthony Richardson was the guy. And then he wasn't. Because you kind of liked the way Daniel Jones was playing football, so you made a change in the offseason to go with a guy who has proven that he can play in this league. He just went so far down during his time with the Giants. But I bet you, Mike, Colts fans were freaking out. Like, wait, it was Anthony Richardson. This was supposed to be the prove-it year. is it that bad that we're going to go with Daniel Jones? Yes, that was scary. And if I were doing Colts radio, I would have said the same kind of stuff, and I would have been wrong. I would have said, this is not good because plan A was Anthony Richardson.
I mean, I had heard that Anthony Richardson wasn't their guy from the beginning of the season. Like, they made that signing, and, you know, immediately he was their guy. I get, from the moment Anthony Richardson took himself out of the game because he was too tired,
those
I'm
kind
immediately
of things,
like, they're still paying him?
You never see a quarterback especially take himself out of a game unless he's hurt. You just don't see it. And you saw that with Anthony Richardson. So this, anytime you get to what is not plan A, what you're in something that you're working on for a very long time, and then suddenly the rug's pulled out from underneath that guy and you're going to go with plan B, it's never a good thing initially. Now, it can be.
If the quarterback is toxic or if he's just horrible and he's missing wide open passes.
Bo's kind of missed some wide open passes.
I'm just saying wide open passes, like, those aren't easy passes to make.
They're not.
But, like, wide open passes, like, your quarterback's, like, right, your running back's right there. You're supposed to swing it out to him, and you just, like, airmail him.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully Bo can get that right. We're going to get into that. My headlines are kind of, those are kind of the focal points today. Michael Malone's topic of discussion. The Nuggets depth chart, a look at that. We're going to start getting into the Colorado Avalanche as well, because guess what, Mike? KFK is back at it. We will be your Northern Colorado home for Nuggets and Avalanche games on top of Broncos games and the NFL. Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Sunday during the day, and we got our featured college game of the week and then our high school game of the week on Friday nights. We're rocking and rolling here. And
I'm looking forward to finding out whose college football game we have this week.
I can tell you.
Who is it?
It's in the email.
I didn't check the email.
Have you ever heard of a team? It rhymes with Schmalschmama and Schmorgia.
Ooh.
I'll let you do with that what you will. But that's going to be on KFKA this weekend.
Now, what time is that?
Five?
Ooh, okay.
You knew all this. Are you testing me?
I am testing you.
You testing me, Mike?
I knew all of it.
27 minutes after the hour. When we come back, I'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly from last night. And then we'll talk more about the Nuggets and their upcoming season and their hopes and the expectations. And top stories of the day. Mike Brohard will join us from CSURams.com. Let us know his thoughts on Jackson Brousseau, the quarterback change for Jay Norvell. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
That means football is on KFKA. Preps, college, pros, and the Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Michael, I'm going to get to my good, the bad, and the ugly from last night, or I guess this morning, too. Good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, I gotta say Dan Campbell. Dude, after watching, I got a lot of thoughts on this, but after watching some pretty boring football over the weekend, some, not all, but some, it's really admire. Did you see that option, that pitch to the running back? I mean, I can't remember if it was a pitch to Montgomery or a pitch to Gibbs, but what a play. That's the kind of stuff that's just innovative, and it's fascinating to see. I just absolutely love some of the play calls that this team is putting together. And that, to me, is great football. It's so fun. Yeah, it was Gibbs. I think, you know, it was lined up, I formation, handoff, then an option to either give it to the first running back or then pitch it out, kind of Air Force style. Beautiful. That's good, man. Innovative. Dan Campbell. The whole game is fun. Fun to watch offense play. Well, fun to watch a tight football game like that. The bad is what I just said. Like, watching a game like that just makes me look at Sean Payton and say, is this game passing him by? Now, he had some good play calls drawn up, but it's just... it's a brand of football. It's not necessarily exciting. The ugly... Michael Kirkpatrick, we got some breaking news. Oklahoma State fires Mike Gundy after their...
Yeah. I'm a man. I'm 40.
One of the legends of sports, isn't he? Mike Gundy will go down as one of those legends of the game. But that rant, for sure, will live in infamy.
Yeah, I watched a short documentary about that.
That was 18.
It's really interesting.
That was 18 years ago.
Wait, what?
He's 58 now, and if he was 40, was he actually 40? He's 58.
It was probably 40-ish, but wow.
He said he's 40. I take him at his word. He was the second longest tenured FBS coach. Pretty bad decline. He had a 3-9 record last year, and then the start to this year, obviously 1-2, and then they lost to Tulsa.
Yeah, and they did lose their starting quarterback.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No excuse
but
to
man,
lose Tulsa.
Great history for Mike Gundy. He made Oklahoma State into a consistent contender. They had eight double-digit win seasons, a Big 12 title in 2011, 18 bowl appearances, 5 New Year's Six bowls. I mean, it's faded over the years, and time passed him by. Okay. All right, Rams fans, I hear it. I keep seeing people say stuff like this. No way, right? No way.
No.
No. Right?
I would love that for all the memes,
yeah.
But...
Do you think that for a guy like Gundy, who doesn't really subscribe to the transfer portal world, could come to CSU, expectations are a little different here. Not much, because CSU might blow Jay Norvell out if they don't win more than like 7 games. But your expectations go from 8 wins, maybe you're competing for a conference championship. That would be what your expectations would be in the Mountain West. At Oklahoma State, like, even though they were bad last year, aren't there expectations that we should be in a Power 4 conference championship game? Like, those are the expectations. So whoever they hire next, if you don't do that in 3 years, aren't you fired?
I mean, they're Oklahoma State. He made Oklahoma State what they were.
Right.
They have to know who they are, that they have real competition. They're not Oklahoma. Like Oklahoma, when Oklahoma was in that conference, they were real. And every now and then, Oklahoma State would overpower them. But really, it was... Oklahoma was the top cat. Texas was also the top. It was Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah, but
this is Oklahoma
but
State.
But they're still saying that this isn't good enough. Now, I don't know. It's just a name people keep throwing out there. Is Mike Gundy? The question is, where does Mike Gundy go from here? Does he want to coach anymore?
If he does, he's got plenty of options.
If he doesn't want. And to be involved in this deep recruit or this transfer portal stuff, because look what happened to Nick Saban's over it, man.
Go
it's
to a
different
smaller
world.
School.
Go to a smaller school, which
the FCS, a lot of them.
Well, Yeah, he ain't going FCS.
If he wants to avoid the transfer portal, the FCS is a lot of schools are like, we don't want to put up with that.
Well, he could go to CSU and still have to deal with some of that, but not like they're dealing with in the Power Four conferences.
The donations would go up.
Oh, my gosh. They'd
have to pay him a lot.
Okay. Do you think, seriously, John Weber, I'm asking, that's crossing his brain today?
Oh, the conversation's already being had.
Do you think that they're seriously sitting in their office right now as we talk about this, and Mike Gundy's name has come up inside that building somewhere?
Yeah, they've probably had a conversation like, well, I mean, it doesn't work out this season, and we, worst case scenario, had to fire Coach Norvell. Well, I mean, Mike Gundy,
but what,
can
could
we
you,
afford him?
Could you afford him?
Probably not.
Would he do it for less? Is Mike Gundy, has he done it all? So he's kind of like, you know what? I'm 58. I'm going to go one more place, and I'm going to go to a town that isn't going to put an extreme amount of pressure on me. Now, Mike Gundy's Mike Gundy. Fort Collins is Fort Collins.
I think he probably wants a bigger program that's going to give him the opportunity to get memeified more often. You're not going to get that at CSU.
Yeah. Mike, can you look up Gundy's contract details? I don't know that answer, Go Pokes. I just saw the story come across here as we were popping in for Good, the Bad, the Ugly. What are the details of his $15 million buyout? I don't know how long his contract was for. And I'm curious to kind of see what that is. Go ahead, Michael. Yes.
So according to CBS Sports, yes, Gundy's contract runs through 2028.
Oh, wow.
Pays him $6.75 million a year. Good Lord. In 2025, raises $125,000 annually. Oh, I wish I was a coach.
What's the buyout? They're going to have to buy him. They're going to have to pay him. What's the buyout?
If he's fired early in the fourth year of his deal, his buyout's $10 million.
Is this the fourth year
of his... fired in his first of the three-year deals, it's $15 million. Trying to see when this article was written.
Just look at the date.
23 hours ago.
Okay. Okay, I got it here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find it, Mike. What is happening? Why are there 4 million pop-up ads I'm trying to get to here? When did he sign the contract?
I'm looking for that.
I got a million pop-ups that just keep happening here. It's $15 million if he is terminated without cause by Oklahoma State before December 31st, 2027. Interesting. What is it before 2025? Thank you. Go Pokes. I got Hooligans on it, Mike. I got Hooligans on it. I got my little birdies are everywhere. Gundy, after last season, verbally agreed to and in January signed a contract to reduce his annual compensation by $1 million, but has also set a flat buyout rate of $15 million should he be fired in the first 3 years of reworked deal. So Oklahoma State will owe Gundy $15 million. So does that change? Hey, I got $15 million coming to me. I'll go to CSU. Come on. This is... right? Now, Jay Norvell...
But $6.25 million in 2025 with $125 million raises every year. CSU can't afford him. He's going to have to be like, you know what? I'm tired of all the attention.
He's got $15 million.
Yeah, but
they're
going to
set a flat
buyout
rate of $15 million should he be fired in the first 3 years of the rework deal.
It's not about necessarily the money itself. It's about I make this much money, therefore my status is this.
So he was making, on average, $6 million a year? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
$6.75 million in 2024. Oh.
Jay Norvell next season is set to make two. Can you get to 3.5? And he's got $15 million in the bank. I did that.
There are going to be a lot of letters going out.
I don't know.
Dear donors, we would like to hire somebody. We need this amount, please.
But isn't that the kind of thing that would be the big I'm telling you right now, John Weber does that. Because Gundy might have his issues, but new environment. I mean, the guy knows his stuff. He's not into the transfer portal stuff, though. So how does that, has this game passed him by? I mean, there's been questions about his roster construction and adapting to the NIL landscape. And he doesn't seem like a guy that really wants to go all in on that stuff.
He's going to have to learn real quick. The transfer portal, I think, you can deal with. The NIL, you're going to have to be very open-minded with, because these players want to make money, and it's their right. You got to be open-minded with it as long as it's not distracting them from being a football player or doing their schoolwork, because they're still students.
Wild. He said, Chris, woo, Brady, I love your insinuation about Gundy. I mean, this is what we do, right? You get a big name that's out of his big job, and he's 58 years old. Does he jump next one?
He's still a man.
And he's 40.
Was 40.
Well, he was 40.
I hope he does get hired at CSU, because I already have a nickname for him.
Well, you know he's going to yell at Kevin Lytle.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as Kevin writes a bad article, he's going to be like, come at me. I'm 58.
I'm a man. And like, Kevin will be like, but I did come at you.
I'm like Mike Gundy. Like Mike Gundy. 45 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's a great song right there, Mike. Is that a perfect circle?
Maybe.
Yeah. Lead singer Tool as well.
That's a real Tool.
It's a good song. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Go Poke says, would you rather have Dabo? I can't believe Dabo has been there since 2009. Dabo Sweeney. I don't know. Dabo Sweeney or Mike Gundy? They're about the same guy.
Dabo, I guess.
They're like the same dude. What jobs are going to be available across college football? I'm thinking a large number. Clemson, Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, CSU, Utah. Utah won't, because Morgan Scally, the defensive coordinator, is designated as the head coach in waiting at Utah. So I don't think that job's going to be open. Alabama? Your boy?
No.
Florida?
Possible. Ooh. They have another couple losses.
Maybe. Okay, Mike is saying I need to hurry up and go take a break. That's what he's saying. I'm sorry. I had a design for this show, and then the Mike Gundy news hits, and away we go. We rhyme. We go with the flow on the whole show.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore, Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I don't even know what I want. I don't know if that's a good idea. It's not. It's far-fetched, but not at the same time on the Mike Gundy stuff. Mike Gundy fired by Oklahoma State today. Top stories of the day, that's one of them. We got some more, though. Mike Brohard going to join us from CSURams.com. Well, Jay Norvell's the guy for now, and he just made a quarterback change. Is it enough? We'll talk about it. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310. KFKA. Yeah.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.